Today's Shir is Masechta Makos, Daf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Yud Tes on the base, 3 lines from the bottom. In our previous Shir, we had a discussion, the Gemara had a discussion about Maaseh Sheni, about when it may be eaten, where it may be eaten, and where is there Malkus if somebody eats Maaseh Sheni. And we had discussed that the Chiyuv of eating, the Gemara had said that when would one get Malkus for eating Maaseh Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. The Gemara said it's only applicable if somebody ate that Maaseh Sheni had already been in Yerushalayim. But the Gemara said the Maaseh Sheni that was never brought into Yerushalayim, there is no chiyuv if you eat it outside Yerushalayim. And that's where our Gemara begins with discussing that halacha. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kain Shalos B'yodai, if a Kain has a Te'ena, a fig Shal Tevel. As we know, when we speak about Peres Etz Yisrael, so the Chayiv and Truma, the halachi is, there is no Shir Medaraisa, Chita Aches Peteres Etz Akri, even one kernel is enough. But as we also always discuss, Chazal said that a generous person gives a 40th, a average person gives a 50th, and a stingy person gives a 60th. Afterwards, there's Mais Rishon, which is given every year to the Levi. From the Mais Rishon, which is 10% of what's remaining after the Truma was separated, 10% is given as Mais Rishon to the Levi, and 10% of the Mais Rishon, which is given to the Levi, has to be given to the Kohen as Trumas Meiser, and then in the first and the second and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, there is Meiser Sheni, which the halach is, you take that produce up to Yerushalayim to eat, or if you want, you could redeem it. Makes a difference if the owner is redeeming it, then he has to add a 20% surcharge, someone else is redeeming it. He need not add that surcharge. And the halach is that is taken up to Yerushalayim, either the money or the actual Maaseh Sheni and eaten in Yerushalayim. And here begins again the Gemara with a brisa, where you have this fig of Tevel, and it's Tevel because the Trumas and Maaseris were not removed. And it's a situation where the person is not able to exactly separated, but he designates it. So he says that towards the bottom of the fruit, that's where the truma should be. The maceration obligation should be on the top of the fruit, but tsvayna or maceresheni, and the maceresheni should be in the south side if it's a shnas macer, v'hubi Yerushalayim, and this is taking place in Yerushalayim. Oy, if it's a Maaser on a year, the third and the sixth years of the cycle are Maaser on a year. So Maaser on a, and he didn't say, so therefore he says Maaser on a. Says, V'hu begvulin, because that, if it's Maaser on a year, it doesn't have to be in Yerushalayim. If after this all took place, the Kohen eats this Truma, he's going to still get Malkus. Because he didn't remove, as we mentioned a moment ago, that the Trumas Maisim. So the Truma, as we said a moment ago as well, wasn't actually separated. But it doesn't make a difference that he ate, but since he's a Kohen, and he did do the designation of Truma, that's enough that this fruit should not be considered Tevel as far as Truma is concerned. The Maaseh Sheni is not a concern because he's in Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni. The Maaseh Rishon that he designated, or the Maaseh Oni that he designated, is something that anyone could eat. The Maaseh Rishon that's given to the Levi, but a Kohen is allowed to eat the Maaseh Rishon. Everybody's allowed to eat Maaseh Rishon. And furthermore, Maaseh Oni, which is supposed to be given to the Aniyim, but it may be eaten to everyone. But the Trumas Meiser may not be eaten unless it was designated. Since it wasn't designated, so it's still Tevel as far as the Trumas Meiser is concerned, and therefore he'll get Malkus for eating that, something which is Tevel as far as Trumas Meiser is concerned. Achla, Zar Shachla, if a Zar eats this date, this fig that we just identified, Leike Shtayim, he's going to get Malkus because he ate the Truma, and a Zar is not allowed to eat Truma, and he's also going to get Malkus for the Trumas Meiser. Shila B'tchila Achla, had he, and now the Gemara says a most interesting phenomena, had this process, this procedure not have taken place, so what would it be? The fruit would be Tevel. And if the fruit would be Tevel, so then the halacha would be that you only get one Malkus. The entire reason two Malkus are going to be given here is because it would be Tevel, and Yisrael that eats Tevel obviously is going to be over that, the get Malkus for that. Here, because to some degree it's not Tevel, so it's Truma, and Yisrael is not allowed to eat Truma, and it's also Tevel because of the Trumas Meiser, that's why the Yisrael is going to get two Malkus. And that's what the Gemara says. Shilu b'tchila achla, had it not gone through this entire procedure, then ena loike alachas, he would have gotten only one Malkus for Tevel. There's an interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim based on this Gemara, because there's a machlekes Rishonim and what fruits have a chiyuv meiser. Rashi, in Masechta Brachos, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, says the midaraisa, only dogon tirish v'yitzer, the five grains, grapes and olives, have a chiyuv of trumas and meisres. All other produce is only chayiv midrabbanan. The Rambam disagrees, and he says that all fruits are chayiv meisre midrabbanan. Others say that the Rambam means that he only means the Zayin Minim, which fig is one of them. Clearly, says Taisus, our Gemara supports the opinion that Trumas and Maisers are not limited to Dogen Teresh V'yitzer. Taisus, in defending Rashi's opinion, says that our Gemara, the our Braisa, when it spoke about Tena as a fig, it was only used as an illustration, but it doesn't mean that the halacha really applies to them. And the Aruch Haner supports what Taisus says. He says, our Gemara, he says, is speaking about a kohen who has one fig, and indicating, as we just learned, that had the kohen or whomever not taken the trumas and maisris that he's obligated to take, then he would be chayiv, tevel, trumas maiser, etc., truma. But the halacha is, if the mice is only 1/10 of the fig, then the halacha is that to be chayiv for eating tevel, you have to eat a kazayis. If we're only talking about one fig, you can't have one fig, says the Aruch Haner, that's 10 kazayisim big, that they should say that 1/10 of it is a kazayis. So obviously, we're not, the Gemara, he says, is not speaking about a situation which is exactly as being discussed. It's only being used as an example of what could happen, says the Gemara, Tama. But now the Gemara goes back to our discussion. Tama, the reason why that's why he doesn't get Malkus is Meshum de Issa B'Shalayim, so he doesn't get Malkus for eating the Maaser Sheni. Habgvulin, had the story taken place not in Yerushalayim, like a Shalish, there would be one more Malkus for eating my Sheni Atzer Yerushalayim. The Afgav, even though that Leroy Pnei Chaima, if it's outside Yerushalayim, presumably the case would have been that it was outside Yerushalayim and never brought into Yerushalayim. If it was never brought into Yerushalayim, so why would there be a chiyuv for eating it from this Maaser Sheni? The fact that there would be a chiyuv is a proof that it doesn't have to have been brought to Yerushalayim to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, that's not what it's speaking about. We're speaking about a case, the Eili, that it was in Yerushalayim at one point, and Afki, and then it was removed from Yerushalayim. Ask the Gemara, if Hachi, if that's the way we're explaining Maila Memra, that's obvious that a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. It's obvious that a Kohen may not eat Tevel, even if it's only Tevel because of Truma's Meiser. It's also obvious that a Zor may not eat Truma. It's also obvious that if Meiser Sheni was in Yerushalayim, it may never be consumed outside of Yerushalayim. So what is the Braisa coming to teach us that is new? If we'll say that the Braisa is coming to tell us that even Meiser that was not in Yerushalayim, if you eat that Meiser Sheni, Yechayiv, Malkus, so that's a Chiddush. But if the halacha is that you're not chayiv for Meiser Sheni only if it was in Yerushalayim at one point, so then again, that's obvious. So we indeed learned an entire case in this Braisa, but the Braisa really hasn't taught us anything new. Answers the Gemara Hakam Ma'iskinen, Kigoyin Dalena Batavliyo. That we took that this fig was brought into Yerushalayim before any of the Trumas and Meisers were removed. And the Braisa is teaching us that when would we say, based on our previous year, when would we say that there's a chiv for eating Meiser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim? We would suggest that that chiv only applies when it was in Yerushalayim in a state of being Meiser Sheni. But if it was only Tevel in Yerushalayim, and then it was taken out, and it was only separated outside of Yerushalayim, maybe the halacha is that that's not a problem. Teaches us, Hachum Ma'iskinen Kigoyin Da'alina B'Tevelayu. It was brought into Meiser Sheni when it was Tevel. And Rabbi Yossi is teaching us that Matana Shloi Hormu, that even though the Meiser Sheni was not physically yet removed, the halacha treats it Kemisha Horma Damian as if it was removed. And this is a very big chiddush, that something that didn't happen, the halacha is, it's considered as if it did happen. So the Ritva makes a very important point. The Gemara is saying a very big chiddush, Matana Shloi Horma Kemisha Horma Damian, says the Ritva that's only L'chumra, as our Gemara is teaching us, that it's already considered Meiser Sheni. But we can't apply the concept of Matana Shloi Horma Kemisha Horma Damian to teach us a Kula. And he explains, and the Imri Bina explains the Ritva in a very simple way. The Imri Bina says, if the halacha of Matana Shloi Horma Kemisha Horma Damian is universal, then when would anybody be chayiv for Tevel? Why do we always say Tevel means? Tevel means produce from which the Trumas and Maisers were not removed. But if the halacha says that Matana Shloi Horma Kemisha Horma Damian, and it's the halacha views it as if it was removed, so then if the halacha views it that way, it shouldn't be considered Tevel. And the whole din of Tevel that the Torah teaches us would never be applicable. So now there's another question. What is going to be the halacha when we apply this concept of Matana Shloi Horma Kemisha Horma Damian as far as Dine Mamres is concerned? That means if a Kohen has a fruit and the produce, the truma wasn't taken off, what would be the halacha if we apply the concept Matana Shloi Horma Kemisha Horma Damian? That means the truma is already separated. And now the Kohen uses that to be Mekadosh a woman, to marry a woman, would it be considered a valid Kedushin or not? And many Rishonim and Achronim suggest that it's not considered a valid Kedushin, because it's even though Matana Shloi Horma Kemisha Horma Damian, I think what they mean to say is, again, it can't be applied to teach us a Kula. And I saw that Reb Chaim Oizen, the Chaz Yezer, I think says, means to say, because at the end of the day, nothing was separated. But Reb Chaim Oizen suggests, even though at the end of the day, nothing actually was separated, it may be that as far as Dina Issa V'Heter, that as a considered Tevel, as we said, it's still considered a Tevel. But as far as Dina Mamna is concerned, it may be that it is considered as if it was separated, and the Kedusha would be a valid Kedusha. Says the Gemara, is that true? The Savar Rav Yossi, is it possible to say that Rav Yossi accepts the concept of Matanah Shalai Horma Kamisha Horma Damnim? But Tanya, the Brisa teaches us Rav Shuben Yehuda and Mishim Rav Yossi, Loi Nechku Beisham Beis Hillel Perish Loi Nigmar Malachdan, that if Paris were not finished being processed, and the halacha is that until a fruit is considered fully processed, there is no chiyuv trumas and maisrus. Vavi Yerushalayim, and they pass through Yerushalayim in that unfinished state, and then they, and then when they were outside Yerushalayim, trumas and maisrus were separated. Sheyifta maisrus shen Yerushalayim v'yachav kamakim. It's not considered that as if the maaser sheni was already in Yerushalayim, that as we keep on saying that once the maaser sheni was in Yerushalayim, it can't be redeemed anymore. Aman nechaku, everybody will agree that in that situation, we will not suggest that matana shloi horma kamishor medanyam. Where do we have a machlok v'sham beisal? A perish nigra malachdom, where they were brought into Yerushalayim, they were fully processed for every Yerushalayim. Shemesham Amrim, Yachs Maaser Sheni Shalayim V'Yochel B'Yerushalayim. Since they were in Yerushalayim in the fully processed state, so we say Matanah Shloi Horma K'Misha Hormu, and therefore it's as if the Maaser Sheni was already in Yerushalayim, and this, as we learn in our Shir, represents a Chumrah, Beisham is teaching us, and now if it's taken out of Yerushalayim, since it was already Maaser Sheni that was in Yerushalayim, it's no longer able to be redeemed. Because they hold matanah shloi horma, if they weren't actually physically separated, the halacha doesn't view it as if they were separated. Says the Gemara, but if we're going to say that matanah shloi horma k'maisha horma damnei ha kaltu mechitzes, once it was in Yerushalayim, so we have a situation of maaser sheni in Yerushalayim, and it should not be allowed to be redeemed outside of Yerushalayim. So obviously, the opinion is a Beis Hillel that we don't say Matanah Shloi Horma K'misha Horma Damnim. And the Gemara, part of the Gemara's question is that it's difficult to accept that Reb Yossi will be paskening, will be following the opinion of Beis Shammai, who said Matanah Shloi Horma K'misha Horma Damnim, versus the opinion of Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara, Amar Ave Mechitza Lechel. This halacha that if Maaser Sheni was born to Shalayim, if you eat it outside of your Shalayim, Yechayiv Malkus, that's a din deraisa. And therefore, as far as that halacha is concerned, we say Matanah Shloi Horma K'misha Horma Damnim. But the halacha Mechitza Liklait, the halacha that if something comes into your Shalayim, then the halacha is that you can no longer, even now you take it out of your Shalayim, you can no longer redeem it. That's only a din derabbanan. V'chi goz rabbanan. So when did the rabbanan say that once it's in Yerushalayim, it can't be taken out of Yerushalayim? That's only if it was completely ready to be maaser sheni. But if here it was in Yerushalayim, and it's only in Yerushalayim, it's only considered as if it was in Yerushalayim, because we're saying the concept of matanah shloi horma k'horma damnim, that we don't say. But Tivla goes Rabbanan. If it was never designated a Maaser Sheni, that far we won't consider it as if it was in Yerushalayim already, that you may not eat it outside Yerushalayim. And the reason is, there's a difference when we're concerned about a Din Daraisa versus when we're concerned about a Din Darabbanan. Says the Gemara, another answer, we asked the question, the Gemara asked the question, Maile Memra, if the Braisa wasn't teaching us a halacha regarding Maaser Sheni that was outside Yerushalayim may not be eaten. So the Gemara asks, what is the Braisa teaching us that represents a Chiddush? Ravina Amar Kagoin, the Nakalei Bekanya. What the Braisa is speaking about is where he's holding the Maaser on a pole. And that's the halacha that the person who's holding that pole with the Maaser Sheni in it entered Yerushalayim, but the actual Maaser Sheni was not brought into Yerushalayim. And as in our previous year, Tifshe Bayit Rapapa, Rapapa asked the question, what will be if the Maaser Sheni is in such a status where the person is inside Yerushalayim and the pole that the Maaser Sheni that he's carrying is outside Yerushalayim? Is it considered like in Yerushalayim or not? And that's what Ravina is saying. This Bryce is teaching us that it's considered as if it's in Yerushalayim. And now we don't have to have this price in any well, in any way, connect to the question of Matanash Lahormo Kamisha, Matanash Lahormo Kamisha Hormo, or not. It's all not part of the discussion. It's a much simpler halacha that, yes, only once in Yerushalayim may not be, if one eats it at Yerushalayim, Yechayiv, but the Bryce is defining what does it mean when we say it was in Yerushalayim. The Tariq Dosha says, Barim Atan L'Hashem L'Keichem, L'Hashem 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 L'Meis. That the halacha is that if somebody unfortunately loses a relative, apparently it was common, as the Tariq Dosha teaches us, that people would rip out their hair, or they would wound themselves because of the grieving over the mace. And the Torah, that's one lav that we're going to be discussing. The other lav we're going to be discussing is the Torah teaches us, which are really two lavin. One is lo sakifa pas roishchem, lo sashchus es pas sekonechem. One halacha is that there are five payas on a person's beard, as we're going to discuss in a moment what that means. And one may not remove them. And the other halacha is that one, that we're now allowed to shave ourselves, that the payas should be removed. We're not allowed to leave the payas on the beard. So says the Gemara. First halacha. If somebody rips out the hair in his head, again, over grief, over a nifter, or he takes off the payas from his head, or a mashkus pasiknai, or somebody shaves his beard, and the way most Rishonim learn, he shaves his beard with a razor, mashkus pasiknai, vasoirit, if somebody uses his fingernails or a knife, anything sharp, srita achas, to make a tear in his body, alames, when he lost a close relative, then all of them, in all these chiddushes, in all these cases, that he's chayiv, that for each one of these isurim, he's chayiv alav. Says the Rambam, that the reason the Torah says that one is not allowed to cut off his payas, and the reason the Torah says that you're not allowed to shave your beard with a razor, so the Rambam said, because that was the derech of the Ovdei Kochavim, that was the style that the Nochrim did, and we have an obligation not to look, not to act as they did. So the Torah asks immediately on the Rambam that this is really contrary to the principle that we follow in understanding what the Torah says. The principle that we always follow is that the Torah, we don't have to understand the reason of the Torah. The Torah, the halachas of the Torah are the halachas of the Torah. So how we understand that the Rambam is giving us explanation for these lavin. And the Beis Yosef, immediately to defend the Rambam, says that of course the Rambam is very much in agreement that everything that it says in the Torah, Agzeris Melech, what were given to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Rambam is trying to teach us is that he's trying to help us understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given that reason, that halacha, but not chas v'shalom, that we need to have a reason, and even without the Rambam, the halacha is that one is not allowed to do it. The Taz, interestingly, says that according to the Rambam, if somebody is violating these lavim, hamakif pas roishoy, or if somebody's violating the lav about the beard, but he's doing it because he wants to be presentable. The Taz says he has an important meeting with the government, and that's the way he believes he will be presentable. Then it's permissible. And the Miches Chinuch says that he doesn't understand. He says, indeed, there's a lav in the Torah of B'chukasem Leiselechu. We're now allowed to follow the style of the Nochrim. So says the Miches Chinuch that B'chukasem Leiselechu changes according to the style. But he says the lavim that we're speaking about in our Mishnah is not something that changes. These are lavim that are usur under all circumstances. Says the Mishnah, Sarat Srita Achas, Achamisha Mesim, if somebody made one cut in his body because of over grieving over five different people, oy chamis ritas ames echad, or he did five cuts over one nifter, then the halacha will be in both of the cases the chayv kolachas echad, chayv kolachas echad. He either is going to be chayv for each srita that he did, and always going to be chayv for each mace. That means if he made one cut to commemorate the grief of five niftarim, he'll be chayv five malchus. Al roish, if somebody does hakafas roish, shtei malchus, then there are two malchus. Why? Achas mikan, one from one side of the head, v'achas mikan, and one from the other side of the head. Al hazaken, when we speak about the pas hazaken, so there are halachas, the shtei mikan, there are two on each side of the head, v'achas mamata, and one by the chin. So the interesting thing is that the lav on the chin, everybody agrees. The chin is the chin, and the chin is considered one of the pas haroish. The question amongst the poskim is where are the two on the side? One opinion, which is the opinion of the Rivan, is that one is at the bottom of the jaw, and one is at the top of the jaw, and one is at the bottom of the jaw. The other opinion is that one is by the sideburns, one is by the mustache, that's the opinion of Rabbeinu Chananel, and one is that's on both sides, and then the chin is so you have two by the sideburns and by the mustache on both sides of the face, and one by the chin. The other opinion is that one is on the top of the sideburns, one is at the bottom of the sideburns, and one, again, as we said, is by the chin. Rabbi Elazar and Nitl Kulan, if somebody took off all the peis haroish, both sides, ka'achas, or he took off all the peis around the beard at one time, then his opinion is, enechayev alachas, there'll be only one malchus. Ve'enechayev, furthermore, says the Mishnah, that when we speak about cutting the beard, the loch is, it's achit lenu betar. You're only over the lav of cutting the beard if you used a razor. Rav Lezer says, afilo loktoi b'malakeit, these are different types of tools that give that rip out the hair. They go into the root. Then he's chayiv, even though you didn't use a razor. The question that the Rishonim debate, the Mishnah is very clear that this question that we just discussed is limited to a razor or to other things. Is it by the beard? But what about the peis? What's the halacha by the peis? Is that also have to be only with a razor? And therefore, if somebody cut off the peis haroish, you know, he didn't leave any sideburns, he made the head completely round, so to speak, that's only with a razor? Or is it in any situation as well? The opinion of the Rosh is that the peis haroish, cutting off the sideburns, is also even without a razor. The opinion of the Rambam is that it's only also with a razor. The Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions, and the Shulchan Aruch says that one should be careful that cutting the peis haroish is even applicable with a scissor, not just with a razor. The question, of course, that comes up is, so how do we fulfill the obligation of peis haroish? The peis haroish that you have to leave, how much is it that the peis haroish has to say? So the Rambam says that it has to be 40 hairs. But how to understand what the Rambam says that it means 40 hairs is very unclear. Because as the Brisker Rav says, the Rambam only speaks about the 40 hairs, but he doesn't define how long a hair has to be. And maybe only longer hair will be considered part of the 40 hairs. And that's why there's the lack of clarity in what is the obligation for peis haroish that you should fulfill, that you should not be over the lav by cutting more than you have to. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, the Torah says by the Kohanim, la yukruchu, that they're not allowed to make this cut. Yochol afilu karach arba v'chamisha kroiches. if he'd made four or five cuts because of the patira of a mace, he won't be chayv only one malchus. Tamalaymer karcha. The fact that the Torah uses a lashon yachid of karcha to teach us l'chayiv that you chayiv malchus al kol karcha v'karcha for every one individually. Baraisham matamalaymer. Why does the Torah use the word mamaraisham? The fish in Amar says the Gemara because says the Brisa because the Torah says. Not by the Kohanim. The Torah says that it's speaking about something that took place by the eyes. So what would be the halacha if it wasn't b'enayim? What would be the halacha if it wasn't b'enayim? What would be the yochel loyichayev ela b'enayim? Bilvad. How do we know that this halacha applies throughout the entire head? It means any space on the head is going to be chayiv. Ask the Braisa further, only ela be kahanim. The Torah says this pasuk by kahanim, and I would think that by kahanim the Torah is stricter because we find shriba ben hakosu mitzvah yaseiris. The Torah so concerned about a kohen that women that only the kohen may marry. Yisrael menayim. How do we know that even a Yisrael is chayiv for any cut that he did anywhere in his head? Nemakan, to which the Brice answers, Nemakan karcha, by Yisrael the Torah uses the word karcha. V'nemala halen, and by the kahanim the Torah uses the word karcha. Ma'ala halen, just like by the Kohanim, the halacha is chayiv al kol karcha b'karcha, v'chayiv al roish kibene einayim. Afkan by Yisrael will be the chayiv the same chayiv al kol karcha b'karcha, v'chayiv al roish kibene einayim. Ma'ala halan, and just like by Yisrael, it's al meis. The Torah says v'leisusimu karcha b'nei nechal al meis. Afkahan afkoyim the halacha of the about the koyin the halacha is. Will be also only Ames. Ask the Gemara, the Braisa started that if somebody made Arba v'chamesha krichas, if four or five cuts were made, Yechayiv for each one separately. So the Gemara tries to understand, Hey Chidami, exactly what is the case that we are speaking about? Ilema b'zachaza, that they were done separately. And there were chamish chesros, and for each act there was a separate hasra. So ask the Gemara, what's the chiddush? Pshita, there was a separate act for each one separately, and since there was a separate act for each one separately, of course you're going to be chayiv for each one separately. It was a separate act, and it was a separate hasra, so certainly it's considered separate. Ela b'chad hasra, that he was told once. And he did five cuts based on that one asra. So ask the Gemara, Mimachayev, would somebody be chayev under those circumstances? But Tanan, the Brishnah Mishnah teaches us later in our Masechta, if a Nazar is drinking wine an entire day, ain't a chayev alachas. He's only chayev one malchus. Amrloy al tishta al tishta, but every time he drank a revius, and before every time he drank a separate revius, he was warned, and he keeps on drinking that way, then he's chayiv al kailachas v'achas. So what is the Mishnah here coming to, where's the Braisa coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara le'tzricha, it's referring to a situation, the saf chamish etzba'isa b'nasha, he put on his five fingers a cream that will cause the hair to be ripped out, not just not ripped out, it will go to the root. V'svinu ba'asachas. And he put all five fingers on his head at one time. Davalei, that this hasra, even though it was only one hasra, but the hasra was for all five fingers. And as the Rishonim explained this Gemara, there's no reason to attribute that hasra to one finger more to any of the other fingers. And since there's no reason to attribute that hasra to one finger that more than to the other fingers, it's considered hasra l'kol chad v'chada. Says the Gemara, kamas shir, how much hair has to be removed to be over the lav of karcha? Rav Huna Amar Kadesh Shira Miroisha, that you have to be able to see the skin under that's missing. Rav Shimon, Rav Yochanan Mishmar Belozer, Rav Shimon Kegris. You have to take out the size of a gris. We always explain when we speak about a gris that the size of a gris is about the size of a dime. Continues the Gemara, Ketanoi. Says the Gemara, this machlokes that we just learned between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan is actually machlokes tanoim. Because the Braisa teaches us, kamashir karchom, how much is it considered that you ripped out, that you over this laugh? Kigris. Achaim remem, kadesh yira miroishai, that should be obvious that this hair missing, you see the skin of the head. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, pligabat tlosa tanoi, that there's actually a machlokes three tanoim. Charamar, one man dama says that the shear is kigris. Charamar, that the shear is kadesh yira miroishai. Charamar, kisha shtei saris, the amount of two hairs. Vika the mapik, and there's an opinion that takes out the opinion that it has to be the size of two hairs, or mile, and replaces it by kadosha. The simanach, and the way to remember which was the opinion that was removed from the braisa, beharis, there's a type of a tzaras that's called beharis, that is, the shear of beharis is kagris. There's another type of tzaras that's called mechya, and that the shear is kadasha. So we see that gris and kadasha are the ones that remain always, and that's why adasha and gris remain. Shtei saris is the one that's questionable for remains. Tana says the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, anoitel mali plizog b'Shabbos. Somebody cuts hair on Shabbos chayiv. How much hair must one cut on Shabbos to be chayiv? The amount of mali plizog. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? V'kama mali plizog. On Rav Yehuda Shtayim, it means two hairs. V'tanya, ask the Gemara, the Braisa there continues to say that to be chayiv for korcha, you take two hairs. So we see that the Braisa is ostensibly teaching us that the shear, the number for Shabbos and the number for Karcha is different. But how would we understand this Braisa? Ema says the Gemara, you have to amend the Braisa and say the Kela Karcha, that the Lacha for both of them is Shtayim. Tanya Nami Hochi, Hanoita Mali Pliyazug B'Shabbos Chayiv, the Kama Mali Pliyazug Shtayim, Rabbi Leza Omer Achas, if somebody's pulling out white hair from amongst black hair, that there, even if he just plucked out one white hair, hu chayiv, because that one white hair is important to him. He doesn't want to be seen with white hair, and therefore he's chayiv on Shabbos even for that one white hair. And the Rishonim ask a very important question. Throughout Shas, there's a question, a melacha she'en etzrich legufa, if you chayiv or not. The best example of melacha she'en etzrich legufa is if we dig a hole. So if we're digging a hole because we need the earth that was in the hole, that's called a melacha etzrich legufa. But if we're doing it because we just need the hole, that's considered a melacha she'en etzrich legufa. So here on Shabbos, the person who's plucking out that white hair is not plucking out that white hair because he needs the white hair. He just doesn't want to have white hair in his head and his beard. So why was that not considered a melacha she'en etzrich legufa? And this actually, many suggest, that is the basis for the opinion of the Rambam. That the Rambam's opinion is that regarding the question of melacha she'en etzrich legufa, the Rambam's opinion actually is that you chayiv for melacha she'en etzrich legufa. And this is the reason that the Rambam states that opinion. Not everybody actually agrees with that, but the Rambam paskins that way, and this can maybe be the source for the Rambam's psak. What will the Rishonim that hold that you're not chai from Loch Shana Tzrich Gufa say to this Gemara? They're going to say that this Raisa is actually not la locha. The Davazeh, but continues the Gemara. Till now we've been focused about Shabbos. But says the Gemara, now Another fact, another consideration is plucking out a white hair. This may not be done even during the week. A man is not allowed to look like a woman. And a man plucking out hairs is a violation of Leisilbash. And when we speak about the lav of Leisilbash, it's also a very interesting question. What is or what isn't considered Leisilbash? There's Paiskim that suggests that maybe a man should not be allowed to look in a mirror. Why is that not considered Leisilbash? And the general rule that the Paiskim suggests is that anything that is obvious that it's being done for need for beautification, not just to be neat, that's considered Leisilbash. But anything that is just being done for neat purposes is not in the category of Leisilbash. Although, I did see a very interesting discussion in the Cheshukei Chemed, who discusses that it goes both ways. Men are not allowed to wear what women wear, and women are not allowed to wear what men wear. And the question that he discusses is that we know that in hospitals, particularly in operating rooms, doctors have to wear garments that are sterilized. And what happens if the garments that are being worn in that operating room are pants? And the question that's discussed, are women allowed to wear, if there's a doctor who's a woman, is she allowed to wear those pants? So I would assume that it should be mutter, because she's not wearing those pants to look like a man. She's wearing those pants because that's the garment that is worn by doctors. But there are paiskim that say that maybe it should not be permissible. It seems that the Cheshukei Chemed's opinion is that we have to see if it's not necessary to be worn that way, then we should maybe be stricter. If that's what's available, then we could be maybe a little more, then there's room for leniency. Continues the Mishnah, if somebody cuts off the Pasarosh, says the Gemara, what is the definition, as we discussed when we learned the Mishnah? What is the Pasarosh? Tan Rabbanan, that what is the definition of pas roish? Soif roishai, says the Gemara of Eza Soif roishai. What is the definition of soif roishai? Says the Gemara Zeh Mashva Tzdav Lachari Ozna Lepadachtai. That means he makes the hairline around the payas completely equal all around. And therefore, that's Osir, says the Gemara. This price was taught in front of Chizda, and it was taught that Echra Makiv Ekir Vanikiv, both the person who gives the haircut and both the person who is one that's getting the haircut, Loika. Amle, says the Gemara, Manda Achli Tamri Ba'arba Lelaki, is somebody who eats dates is going to get Malkus. So, of course, many Rishonim try to understand. What does the Gemara mean to say with the statement somebody eats dates is going to get Malkus? So one pshat that I say is that the Gemara is trying to emphasize that this person who's just getting the haircut is not doing anything. And since this person that is getting the haircut didn't do anything, why would we give him Malkus? Why would we give somebody Malkus for eating figs? This is no different than somebody eating figs. And just like we wouldn't give Malkus for eating figs. But then I saw that the Aruch HaNer brings a very interesting pshat. He says that a person that while they used to give somebody a haircut, they would used to sit in some sort of a basket and eat. And while he was getting the haircut, they would eat dates. And that's what the Gemara is saying. This person is just sitting in the basket to eating the dates, getting a haircut. And why he's not doing anything. So why should he get Malkus? Says the Gemara, Damochman, so in part of the question, it's obvious that who must be the Tana of this Brisa? It must be Rabbi Yehudahi, that we learned earlier in our Masechta. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is the Lav Shem B'Maisa, like in a love. So even though this person didn't do anything, he's still going to get Malkus. Rav Amma, Makif L'Atzmai, that this Brisa is speaking about that he's giving himself a haircut. And Divrei Akol. So if a person is giving himself a haircut, cutting off his payas, so that's why he's chayiv. Rav Ashi says a new teretz, and that is that he's a mesayeya, that a person who contributes to doing something is considered mesayeya, and therefore he's chayiv. And this is a very important discussion in the Rishonim. What is the definition of a mesayeya? Is the definition of mesayeya just because he's sitting there, or is the definition of mesayeya because he's actually participating in this isser of getting a haircut this way? So what would be the halacha, for example, if the haircut was being given to him when he's sleeping? So if the haircut has been given to him while he's sleeping, so the halacha would be that he would not be, that maybe he should not be considered a mesayeya. And the question is, how far do we take the issue of mesayeya? And Rav Moshe Sternberg Shlit in the Shas Tshuvas van Hoggis has a discussion of somebody agreed to a procedure which should not be taking place, but it's taking place and it can't take place without the patient's agreement. Will that be considered mesayeya? But then I saw that the Shas Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim actually uses the concept that's being taught in this Gemara the other way around. The Shas Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim says that there was somebody, there's a mitzvah, a milah, that a father has a mitzvah to do a bris milah on his son. And there's a rule throughout halacha, a mitzvah by yosem b'shluchai. There's a greater mitzvah if you do it yourself by having a shliach doing it for you. So there's a person who's a mile, who always wanted to have the opportunity to be a sandik. And the question is, but he's a mile. And given that he's a mile, is he allowed to be sandik? Because it's a sandik at his own son's bris. He's giving up because he can't be moil and sandik at the same time. And he's giving up the opportunity of being a sandik, of being a moil, which he has an obligation to do because of mitzvah boy, yosef b'mishluchai, just because he wants to be sandik and get all the brachas that the Torah says that a sandik will get. What is the halacha? So the Rav Pa'alim uses our Gemara to be lenient. Because he says, what is our Gemara teaching us? He says that anybody who's a mesayeya, anybody who contributes to something happening, is considered as if he did something. So he says, yes, when we have a bris, obviously the moil is the one that's the main actor in making the bris. But the sandik who's holding the baby is also necessary. There has to be somebody holding the baby when we do a bris. Since we have to have somebody who's holding the baby when we do the bris, that's considered that you did the bris. And therefore, it's not a problem of mitzvah boy yosa mishluchai, and the halacha will be that he could take the sandakos for himself. V'amashchel pas siknoi, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan pas siknoi, what is the siknoi? As we learned, shibula siknoi, that means the chin. V'amasarat srita achas, on a mace, his chayiv. Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says, v'saret l'nefesh l'sitnu, if somebody does this because his house fell down, or his ship drowned, the din only implies only by a nefesh. Umanayin continues the braisa, that mesarat chamish sritis ames echad, as we learned earlier, you did five sritas on one mace. Tamar sarif l'chayiv a kol srita v'srita, even though it's one mace, you chayiv for each one separately. The Rishonim debate, what's going to be halacha when we say that we're only over the slav, it's only our mace, does the mace have to be present, or will this halacha apply even if the mace is not present? And the opinion of the Rishonim is that even if the mace is not there, the halacha is that it doesn't apply. Still, says the Sefer Chinuch, even though we're learning that this halacha only applies on a mace, says the Sefer Chinuch that it's not the Jewish way for us to do this, even if it's not for a mace. The Beis Yosef disagrees, and the Beis Yosef says, our Gemara says that it's only for a mace, and not for any other situation. So the Gemara Masech the Sanhedrin, Daf Samech Ches Omen Aleph, that Rabbi Kiva was so upset when Rabbi Lezer was nifter that he kept on striking himself till he bled. And Tosfos says that this wasn't a violation of the Issa of Sarita because it was done over the loss of the Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Lezer. And explains the Meiri, he didn't, moreover, the Rabbi Kiva did not actually scratch himself. And since he didn't do it in that way, it's only like we learned it out just now. If it's not done for a mace, then there's room for leniency. So says the Meches Chinuch, that this seems to support the opinion of the Beis Yosef, that if it's done not for the purpose, because of death, it's permitted. According to the Sefer Chinuch, as the Meches Chinuch, it should be Asur. But the Ramban has a whole different explanation. According to the Rambam, what happened is that he hit himself. He didn't scratch himself. And says the Sayyidim Mepharshim in explaining this, that even the Sefer Chinuch, who takes the stricter approach, it's only when one is scratching himself and one is hitting himself, even though by hitting himself, he causes himself to bleed, everybody would agree that that's not usur. And that's how we understand the story of Rabbi Kiva upon the passing of Rabbi Lezer.